You're listening to The Music Show on RN. Angel Olsen is, as I said at the top of the show, a popular singer-songwriter from Missouri originally, and she's in Australia at the moment. In fact, this weekend she's at the extremely hip Meredith Festival in Victoria. She was in The Music Show studios earlier this week, and we let her talk to our intern, Patrick Carey, who's an enormous fan of hers. And perhaps appropriately, he chose the song Intern.
Maybe you know that it's been too long, gone through the motions as you sing your song. Doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, still gotta wake up and be someone. Still gotta wake up and be someone.
You're listening to Intern from Angel Olsen's most recent album, My Woman, that was released in September this year. And Angel is my guest on The Music Show now. Angel, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Could you tell us a little bit about that song, Intern, and where it came? Because it's considered a bit of a departure for you sonically.
Well, I was just kind of messing around. I'had been experimenting with MIDI keyboards and my computer. And so I hadn't really... I'd never performed with synthesizers or anything, and I knew that it would be a big jump for me to not only experiment and record with them, but to kind of learn their language live. And then when I wrote the lyrics for it, I ended up liking the lyrics enough to keep it with a batch of the other songs, even though it was very different.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm interested in you using that word language, because I've heard recent interviews with you where you say that you're trying to move away from the lyric-driven, sort of tighter acoustic sound to a bigger band sound where the impact that you make is more a musical one rather than a lyrical one. Do you think that's what you're trying to achieve with Intern there?
I guess I'm just trying to open up my own, to cross my own boundaries, you know. And just because it's a totally different medium doesn't mean it can't be in the style of my writing. And I think with the bigger band sound, it's important to me to be myself, even if I'm expanding. So like with a bigger band, I just sort of continue a minimal sound with the band to make sure that the words are still heard and still important. And with this record and with this song as well, like just sort of letting go and being able to use my voice and my falsetto in different ways, using parts of my voice that I normally wouldn't use because I'd be too preoccupied with the meaning of the words or something. Sure. You know,
I was very struck by something that you said in an interview that I listened to recently, where you said that listening to your own music is a little like staring at yourself naked in a room. I mean, it makes sense.
Well, walking into like a cafe when your music's playing is like that. I think reviewing your own music, you kind of have to be a little bit, you have to like what you're doing in order to put it out into the world and obsess over it.
Sure.
But once you've done that and you're just like forgotten about those recordings and you're just walking into a cafe and you hear them, you're a little bit like, oh, I forgot that that's how that sounded, you know?
Yeah, so it's more of a critical thing rather than an emotional thing.
Yeah.
But I am interested, though, in the fact that your music is pretty, it's pretty raw in terms of its content. Is it scary to dig that deep when you're writing?
To me, I don't feel that I'm exposing that much. I just feel like I have this, when something simple happens in my life, I think in writing I tend to blow it up quite a bit. So I don't feel very much like it's exposing something that I wouldn't want to share. It's more like I'm magnifying something in order to make a point.
Angel, it sounds like you have quite a sort of a business approach to your work rather than a kind of free-flowing, abstract, arty approach. Would that be fair?
Yeah, I guess so. I think in live performance, I try to let go a little bit more. With what I've done and the fact that I spend so much time talking about lyrics or writing things out, I think people, they ask me questions and I just want to be real with them. It's hard for me to lie about it and just say, like, I don't know what inspired me. I was just living my life. You know, it's hard for me to just make things up. So
sure.
I wish that I could just be more abstract sometimes, yeah.
You are very intense in your lyric writing, but you're also kind of, at moments, tongue-in-cheek. I'm thinking about songs like High Five or Intern or
right.
Shut Up and Kiss Me. do you think it's personally important not to take yourself too seriously when you're talking about these kind of deep things?
With songs like Sister and Woman, I feel like there are parts of it that, even in a live performance, if something funny happens, I just start cracking up, you know?
Yeah,
I think it's important to have a balance. And for me, yeah, Shut Up, Kiss Me and Intern are definitely, just visually, I wanted to touch on my own sense of humor. Maybe this is just me, that people kind of identify my music as like just really dark and sad. And I'm like, that's fine with me, but I also know how to have fun and I want to have fun with these songs.
I think it's a bit of an oversimplistic reading to say that it's dark and sad. I don't know. You seem to be smiling a lot into the mic at times, and sometimes
yeah.
You are. So I wanted as well to ask you about the musical influence of the places that you've lived. And you've lived in three different places. You grew up in St. Louis, and then in your 20s you moved to Chicago, and now you live in Asheville in North Carolina, which I must admit I don't know much about. Do you feel like these places that have rich histories musically have impacted the way you sound?
I'm not sure. I think when I moved to Asheville, I think people that had known my music before were like, well, what about the mountains? Do you think that they'll inspire some sort of folky sounds from what you're doing? And I'm like, I don't know.
Appalachian.
Yeah, because a lot of the time I'm not even there. I'm on tour or I'm traveling. For me, I think for the first, you know, I grew up in St. Louis and there wasn't much of a music scene there, but there was a music scene. It was more like industrial or noise or experimental stuff. And so when I moved to Chicago, I met a bunch of people and I just hustled and played a ton of DIY shows until someone would book me. And then, yeah, I just developed a scene of people. We just developed as people and artists, and it was a natural process. That was where I sort of like became a person. So I think during that time, a lot of my writing was reflecting on maybe my childhood or just being the move and the change from moving from one place to another and adapting and learning how to do things on my own. And I think a lot of the time my writing comes from before, like years before. And so for this record, I think I was reflecting a lot on, yeah, leaving Chicago, leaving friends behind, you know, sort of discovering who my truest friends were. And obviously there are many other things going on there as well, but there's been this sort of delayed reaction of reflecting, and every time I come out with a piece of work, I feel like it's, in some weird way, it's sort of like, it's not present anymore. And that's why when I'm performing it live, I don't feel like this, I don't feel like it's too close to what I am now. It just feels like it's a delayed reaction.
I think that's quite interesting because there is a kind of, and this might just be the use of reverb, but there is a kind of, there is a sort of like distant kind of longing sound, I think, in your music. Would you agree? Is that something that you're conscious of?
Yeah, I mean, I'm inspired by Nebraska. That record is amazing. Like stuff that's really simple, that it's just like overdubbed vocals and overdubbed guitars, a little bit of effect can be so simple and so wonderful the way it is. But I also, over the years, have developed an interest in playing with others and learning how to let go of control a little bit in doing so.
You're listening to The Music Show on RN, and my guest is the wonderful Angel Olsen. Angel, I wanted to ask you now about your more recent forays into filmmaking, because you've directed three of the videos that have come out of this album. And I wanted to ask you particularly about Sister, the video clip for that, because I think it is spectacular, really.
Oh, thank you.
You're very welcome. It's amazing. And I wondered, where did you get that filmic language from?
Well, I've been surrounded by talented filmmakers. You know, friends of mine have made videos for me, and I've always had an interest in it on the sidelines, but never thought that it was something that I wanted to do. I always just was like, oh, I'm going to stick to the thing that I know how to do well, instead of trying to do all of these things. But I think when I made this record, I just felt like it just felt wrong to give it to someone else to come up with some abstract idea to place with my song that had my image in it. Just felt really wrong and like misleading, especially for the title being what it is. So I was like, I have a plan and I have an idea, I'll just go with it. And so with the first two songs, it was really easy because they're just upbeat and sort of cheeky, and I could act like a prima donna, an intern, and then Shut Up, Kiss Me. I had been roller skating a lot, so I thought it would be fun to do something that was in a colorful place that just sort of felt stuck in time. And then for Sister, I think my approach was to just be more natural and to remind myself that I was still myself, and to show it as like, because the song to me represents a sort of just traveling in general, I wanted to represent that in some way, some meditative state.
What I'm interested in particularly in that video is the use of color. It seems like it's really controlled in terms of its palette. Is that something that you were consciously considering?
In editing, it's always something that we're considering, just because you want it to be consistent and the themes to be consistent. And there were many themes going on with that song, like five different themes, and we had to kind of repeat them enough, but not too much, in between each other. That one was really difficult to edit, both in mixing the song and the video, because there are just so many elements and so many like tempo changes that make you rethink it.
And gear changes in terms of tone as well.
Right. Like when you think the song is over and then there's a guitar solo.
Exactly.
For example. Yeah. But that's always, for me, the end of a song like that, when there's just like music happening, you can get really cutty. And like what I found in just taking control over my own image and making these videos is that I really like the editing process, and I feel like nobody ever really talks about how important that is in mixing music or film, that the way it's mixed can really change. It's the final statement. You know, it changes the way the information is gathered by leaving out some information.
Absolutely. Know? And also it reinforces the collaborative aspect of those two art forms as well, because you're like working with other people and consistently trying to change the shape of what you're saying through the eyes of people that are also taking part in the making of those films?
For me, like, that's one of the most difficult parts in editing, is that you're battling each other's egos. Like, getting all the information's fun, you're having a good time, crack open a beer, talk about your ideas and like talk about your life, and then you lose track of the fact that you're working because you're having a great time. And then when it comes to editing, that's when you have to be mean to yourself and to others, and it sucks. But that's what makes good art, I think, is just having a way to kindly say what your vision is, and while also trying other things, even if you know in the back of your mind you're going to keep going back to that idea.
Sure.
Just having an open mind to try something different. And I can be really stubborn, so I think that the people working with me were really, really patient. And I think it's different, too, because I'm not only editing something with them, it's my image, and I have to forgive my image. And that was a huge exercise, too.
Mm. I wonder then, in a situation where you do like to exert control over your over the output of your work, whether you have found that more difficult now that your public profile has pretty much exploded, especially since Burn Your Fire for No Witness, and now with this new album. Has it made it your job harder or easier?
I feel like I'm getting used to it. There are always aspects of it that I don't like, but when I put out Burn Your Fire, I felt so much more pressure. And on this one, I just wanted to have fun and be myself, and I knew me and my band had changed, and there were things that were changing around me that were experimental. And yes, that was a little bit difficult to put out there because Intern is so different than what people are used to. I couldn't regurgitate the past and do the same thing over again. And I wanted to challenge myself, you know. Yeah, that's what makes it interesting for me, so yeah.
Well, we hope you continue to make it interesting for yourself because it's certainly very interesting for all of us. Angel Olsen, thank you for joining me.
Thanks
on the Music
for having
Show.
Me.
Angel Olsen talking to Patrick Carey earlier this week for the Music Show. And Angel Olsen's at the Meredith Festival in Victoria just right now. Now, on tomorrow's Music Show, we'll be talking to the composer Brett Dean. As you would have heard in the news at the beginning of this hour, he won the Paul Lowen Song Cycle Award for his piece And Once I Played Ophelia. That leads to the opera Hamlet, which has been commissioned by the Glyndebourne Festival in England. It's the first main stage opera that Glyndebourne has commissioned in a decade. And we'll talk about Hamlet as well. Now, Greg Lake of Emerson, Lake & Palmer, the bass player with Emerson, Lake & Palmer, has died, as you would also have heard in the news. And I did mention that I thought we'd be hearing I Believe in Father Christmas rather a lot. I was right.
There'll be snow at Christmas. They said there'll be peace on earth, but instead it just kept on raining. A veil of tears for the virgin birth. I remember one Christmas morning, a winter's light and a distant choir, and the peal of a bell and that Christmas tree smell, eyes full of tinsel and fire. They sold me a dream of Christmas. They sold me a silent night. They told me a fairy story, till I believed in the Israelite. And I believed in Father Christmas. And I looked to the sky with excited eyes. Then I woke with a yawn in the first light of dawn, and I saw him and threw his disguise. Pain and sadness, lead your heart and let your road be clear. They said there'd be snow at Christmas. They said there'd be peace on earth. Christmas we get, we deserve.